Well, hey, good morning and welcome back to the LifePoint DriveCast. My name is Paul Pretty. I'm the teaching pastor for the Marion campus. Thanks so much for joining us here on the DriveCast today. Before we get into discussing Ecclesiastes a bit, I just want to say thanks so much for your generosity in the WOW offering this past week. So excited to see how we can continue to be a part of God's activity in the coming 12 months, largely to your generosity. So just want to say thank you and really excited to see what God does over the next 12 months. So back to Ecclesiastes, kicked off this new series. We're going to be in for about 12 months. And, you know, it's a, you know, upon first read, it's a little bit jarring. It's like, okay, well, this is terribly depressing. You know, in verse 2, we see the teacher, who is the primary voice throughout this whole book, say, depending on what translation you're in, this is the NIV, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. It's like, great. What is the point of living? And really, the author would go on to say, if you're living your life under the sun, and that phrase is a key phrase, and it really means everything that is on the earth. If you're living your life for what is on the earth, your life will be meaningless. And that's a really wonderful and really challenging thing to hear, because what it does is it confronts us to ask the question, am I living a meaningless life? Am I wasting my life? There's a great book by a guy by the name of John Piper called Don't Waste Your Life. And it very much speaks to the point of the author of Ecclesiastes. He goes on to say many things, but specifically in chapter one, he sort of gives an apologetic or a defense as to why everything under the sun, that is everything on the earth, is meaningless. He says, the sun rises and the sun sets in verse 5 and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Around and around it goes, ever returning in its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Verse 11, no one remembers the former generations. Even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. So all that to say, he's saying, look, your life, what's it really matter? When lived from the perspective of under the sun, the world's going to keep on spinning. The streams are going to keep on flowing. The ears of all people are going to keep on hearing, those who are gifted to be able to hear, that is to say. Right? He's saying, look, nothing really changes because you lived. And again, that is really, really depressing if you're living for the world. If you are living to gain a lot of wealth, if you are living to gain great power, if you are living to create something earthly, the author saying is, look, it doesn't really matter. And you think about that from the lens of history. Think about some of the greatest empires to ever exist in world history. So many of them we call ruins, right? Ancient ruins. And in the time, they were incredibly powerful. The pharaohs of Egypt were considered gods. Great power, great wealth. But now, ancient ruins. And so the question is, what are we living for? What is the point? What is the purpose? And in many ways, I think this book should serve as an x-ray of our worldview. Worldview, in a sense, defines itself. It is the way in which, or the lens through which, we view the world. It is how we view the world. And the thing about worldview is oftentimes in our earlier years, we inherit our worldview from our families, from our friends, and from our schooling. We assume the view of the world that those around us have. The thing about worldview, though, is oftentimes as we grow older, we adopt the worldview of the world as we interact with the world. And so naturally what begins to happen is we begin to think in the way in which the world, quote unquote, wants us to think. And the worldview of our world is that of something called humanism. You could also use the term existentialism. I'm not going to get too much into those. Secularism. There's a lot of really important definitions. But all that to say, I'm going to try and keep this brief. The real ultimate goal of our world, and I could point you to a couple books. There's one called Our Secular Age by a guy named Colin Henson that is tremendously helpful in this. You could read the works of Francis Schaeffer, Nancy Piercy, a wonderful work when it comes to worldview. But the ultimate value, really, or promotion of our day and age is that of individual human flourishing. That is to say, the greatest value that is pushed upon us is to say, you flourish, whatever that means to you. Whatever you believe will make you happiest, you pursue it to its fullest. Whatever you believe is what you need, you get that thing, and that will make you happy, that will make you satisfied, that will make your life full of meaning. And what the author of Ecclesiastes is saying is, no, it will not. Actually, it will lead you to feeling as though there is nothing. And it will lead you to great despair. Because Solomon would say, I lived that life. I lived my best life. I pursued everything I wanted to pursue. I gained everything I wanted to gain. And ultimately, it was vanity. It was meaningless. It was nothing. And so in many ways, this is an opportunity for us to have our worldview x-rayed to say, are there issues under the surface that we didn't see? Are there blemishes? Are there fractures in the way in which we're viewing the world that we are buying into the worldview that says, get whatever you can get while you can get it, then you will be satisfied? But Jesus lives a very different life, doesn't he? And he calls us to live a very different life, doesn't he? You see, if we live according to the way the world wants us to live, we will come to an end of this life and we will realize it was meaningless. And that will be a terrible realization because that emptiness, that feeling of voidness will go on for us for all of eternity as we are separated from God. But Christ calls us to live a life full of meaning, a meaning that comes from him, a meaning that does not point toward our individual flourishing, but toward self-sacrifice, toward laying down our wants and desires, toward picking up our cross and following Jesus, toward serving, toward giving, toward, again, laying down our wants and desires. Jesus calls us to a different life, one that is about him, one that is about God being the ultimate meaning of life and the glory of God being its ultimate purpose. In the book of Isaiah, as I mention often in these drivecasts and other places, we were created for God's glory. That is the reason for our existence. God says, whom I created for my glory. That is us, right? And so I just want to ask you, who are you living for? Whose glory are you living for? What does your spending reveal about that? What does what you think about most reveal about that? What does what you're praying most about reveal about who and what you're living for? And I just want to end with that today. What do our checkbooks, who says checkbooks? What is this, 1992? What are our debit card transactions reveal about who we're living for? You know, what's your prayer life like? And allow that to really to sink in and say, God, what's my focus? What am I doing? How can I make my life matter? And the way we make our life matter is by making Christ the center of it. That's it. All things point to Jesus. He is all in all, and he will be all in all. And we get to live for him. So let's pray today. And I do want to say thanks for joining us on the Drivecast. I hope today was both challenging and encouraging. Let's pray. I'll pray first, and then I'll give you some time as well. God, I do ask that you would allow us to rightly assess our hearts, that this book would be an x-ray, in a sense, of our worldview, that we would look at our spending. We would look at how we spend our time. We would look at our prayer life, and we would ask the question, what does it all point toward? Does it point toward my individual flourishing, or does it point toward the glory of God? And if all of what we're doing points toward us, would you allow us to repent and redirect our lives toward you? Because we want to live lives of meaning, purpose, and significance. And Jesus, you promise us that all comes through you. And so please direct our hearts, our minds toward you, and allow us to have lives that matter for your glory and for our good. It's in Christ's name we come to you. Amen.